Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This will be reversed.
Oh. Straight down the spine. 1 minute 14 left. This could be double deja vu. Giants won it late last week. Cameron, maybe for the game.
Oh, no!
The miracle!
Welcome to the Clicking Balls podcast. This is AFL Round 9 Wrapped. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Josh, do you have a highlight of the weekend past?
Oh, I've got a couple, but I think the biggest one for me is, I know everyone here is a Bass Rutten fan, and I'm sure he listens as well. We popped a couple of things up on Clicking Balls from his highly entertaining videos, but I didn't realise Ben Cunnington, a big Bass Rutten fan. As everyone in the world knows, Bass Rutten, big star of Pride and mixed martial arts.
UFC, first UFC heavyweight champion.
Exactly so. And his signature move, if you like, was a kick to the liver. Cunnington decided, I can go one better and just put a sweet little jab into Bernie Vince.
He got him sweet.
Dropped him like a sack of shit. And it was funny because Vince was earlier on giving Higgins a bit of a touch-up all day. And he tried to try that shit with Cunnington. And Cunnington just, he tried to coat-hanger him. He sort of took that one on board and got in Cunnington's face. And he just did the little sneaky tummy tap that was actually a liver punch and dropped him.
He didn't look like he put much behind it, but must have caught him sweet.
I think Salem got Thompson, no, it wasn't Thompson, Higgins. A touch up, Higgins a touch up as well, didn't he?
Little nose massage with his elbow.
Yeah, he got a week for that one.
Yeah.
Cunnington got a $1,500 fine, but I don't think anyone's going to try that shit with him again.
Ah, it was $1,500 is money well spent, I think.
I reckon so. He's a hard little shithead.
Isn't he? Brenton, you got a highlight?
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad Good Beer Week's over. It's been a long bloody week.
Hard work.
Liver's been destroyed. We had a end of week party last night, so I'm a bit dusty today. Cooked up these huge fucking ribeyes on hot coals out the back. So, yeah, it's delicious. Nosh washed it down with a nice end, some Valley Briny Melon Gosa, which is my beer of the week.
Beer of the week, there you are.
Beautiful little sour beer that will be on tap soon in around Melbourne. So, yeah, get into that one.
My highlight of the week is along those lines too. We was cooking some ribs because we got the in-laws are back staying with us again.
Oh, shit.
Yep. We thought Saturday night I'll cook some ribs because I'm starting to get it down pat, you know. Yep. Pretty fucking perfect. But the ribs you get at Coles and Woolies are very, very sweet, but they're small and expensive too. Like 24, 25 bucks a kilo for small ribs. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to dive in. I'm going to try Costco. I've never been to Costco before and I thought I'm going to go there by myself. And it got in early too on Saturday, so I was surprised. It took me fucking ages. And I got to say one thing. I've always said that Aldi customers are the slowest and most unaware people in the world.
Yep.
Got nothing on Costco customers. Fucking hell, those double-wide trolleys. Sometimes I'd go three aisles over just to get where I actually wanted to go.
Do they have the little mobility scooter things?
Yeah. I saw a couple of them. You know, ones with trolleys attached to the front. Mm-hmm. Actually, I only saw one, but they were probably the least of the problems, to be honest. The people just park it diagonal in the middle of aisles.
I feel like we should start a Costco racing league. That's on mobility scooters. Just set up a little track around some of the aisles and see who takes the glory.
But I tell you, it took me ages, but I finally found the ribs that they had there. And like I said, I went through the meat section about four times. I'm like, they don't fucking sell it. This is fucking shit.
Yeah.
Then I found it, and it was like half an aisle of ribs. And I went, okay, well, that one's my fault. I clearly missed that.
How the fuck did you miss half an aisle of ribs?
Well, you know what I mean. Half a freezer. Yeah. It was quite large, the section I missed anyway. But the point is, when I finally found them, fuck, they were unreal.
Yeah, I remember sending me a photo. They looked amazing.
They were so thick and so much meat on them.
Yeah.
And I think they're 19 a kilo, so a good $5 or $6 cheaper than the butchers.
Lest anyone wondering, Costco aren't paying a shit for this, but if they'd want to, we're more than happy to pluck the shit out of them.
I just said how shit everything else was there. So if this is a paid segment, we're doing a very poor job. But
plus, if you've got to buy a membership to go get some food, then go fuck yourself.
It's weird.
They sell beer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sell alcohol. They sell fucking everything.
Yeah, it's probably shit though.
Heineken. I mean, I saw that there. No. They sell beer, you know. But anyway, the ribs were fucking amazing. So from now on, if I'm ever doing ribs, that's where I'm buying them from. Because even butchers, like we used to say, Box Hill was a place to go for pork.
Yeah,
they don't do the proper spare ribs.
No, there's only one little market that'll do them if you ask for them. Like they'll go into the cool room and they'll chop it up for you, which I usually get them to do it.
What, you mean American style baby back?
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah. There are a couple of places there, but they don't have much of it.
No, and expensive too. Cause I went through Box Hill the other day and just to price them, and I went, no.
Farmers Market's where you go for those ones.
Yeah, probably a better bet.
Fucking brilliant.
Yeah, but like I said, when I went to Costco, I bought 5 racks of ribs. It was far too much for what we were planning, and there's still some left today.
Nice.
That happened when I went traveling. We were in Uruguay, and little fucking place. I didn't speak much Spanish. And all they had up on was, you know, ribs, legs, whatever. And I'm like, ribs? Oh, no, fucking ribs. All right. I'm thinking I'm getting some lamb ribs or something. And they pull out this fucking huge rack and throw it on the
beef.
This angled, like, tray, I guess, over hot coals. Yeah, beef.
Yep.
And I just see him throwing sea salt at it. And I'm like, the fuck? What? Hang on. Put it on this tray. And it would have been probably 60 centimeters wide. And it was sucking it as fuck. That was great chimichurri sauce. Fucking loving life.
Yeah, I saw they had a barbecue festival out in Barossa Valley. Uncle sent photos down of that same setup, which is surrounded by like whole pigs, just being butterflied and hanging over these hot coals. Looked amazing.
I'm fucking hungry now.
Yeah, well, I've still got some left over, so when I go home after this, it'll be good. All right, so let's get to the footy, though. We started with this first week of the 8-game rounds, but we started on Friday night with Geelong putting in a spirited performance to get up over the Doggies. And the Doggies were brutal at the selection table. Really cut some people off for, you know, a couple of poor performances. And
Perhaps too much.
Yeah,
maybe. I mean,
too much ketamine, apparently.
Might have been a good idea they would have liked to be able to throw Libber to Selwood or Dangerfield, I think, at any stage during this game.
Mm.
But Dangerfield with 36 touches and 4 goals, just doing as he does.
And it's still a close-fought contest, too. I mean, they got blown out a bit, but the Bulldogs managed to pull it back, which, I mean, it made for an interesting game, at least.
Well, the last quarter, Bulldogs actually started ahead.
Yeah, it's just a matter of that old last quarter fade out with a team that's probably not as fresh in the legs as well. Bulldogs never fresh in the legs, are they? There's always something that's not firing. But it's good to have a proper Friday night match again. That's going to be close between the two top teams.
Yeah, it won't happen this week.
Teams, yeah.
It was especially after Geelong were embarrassed. I think last week against Essendon.
Yeah.
So they really came out and. Good performances all over the ground, except for Motlop. Motlop was shocking.
Sure.
He is one of the most up and down people. He oscillates from being, you know, a quality creative forward to a fucking liability.
He hasn't been much of the creative forward this year at all. But
he's had a couple of good games.
He's had more bad.
He's had two.
Was this the first game with the new stadium built?
Yep. New stands.
New stands. Finally, that's been like on the cards for ages. Every time you see a game at school stadium, you always see the works there.
Well, yeah, it's Geelong, so, you know.
What do they name the new stand?
The Dave. Charles Brownlow Stand.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I thought there's already something named after him.
Yeah, yeah. Could have had the Gary Abbott Jr. Stand, just really, you know.
Really hammer it.
Put your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird choice.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know.
For Mitch Duncan, 18 tackles.
Jesus.
That's massive. And also, to go with 31 possessions, which isn't too bad either.
Means he's in around it all day.
Yeah, yep. That's Libber-like numbers.
That's just
except more touches. It's
relentless, really. Because if you can run around, get possessions, and tackle when you have the ball, that's a hard fought game.
Throw in 7 marks, and gee, he's having a fair bit of the ball there.
It's good to see Mitch Wallace back as well. That was his first game after his horrific leg break last year.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
So he got about it. Yeah, he didn't look too bad. It's funny, though, when you have a horrific injury like that, every time he gets up sore, they're like, oh, I wonder if that leg's bothering him.
Yeah.
But, nah, he's probably just taking a knock, mate.
Yeah, plus, doesn't the leg grow back stronger when you have a break like that?
Pretty much. Apparently.
Allegedly.
So I've been told. I mean, I still wouldn't try and risk it and try it, but didn't work too good for Nathan Brown, though.
Yeah, on the actual part where it breaks, it becomes stronger, I think. But you can still break it a centimetre below it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always that. And I thought Bob Murphy was one of the better ones for the Bulldogs as well. He really showed some toe at times.
And it's a time when the Bulldogs need some leadership with a lot of people having a seat. Yep. And some people got off the rails. So, yeah, it's good to see him put his hand up as he always does.
But it's not enough to write off the Dogs, though, is it?
No.
I mean,
you go, they're just going to plod along, sneak into the eight, and then who knows what happens from there.
Well, the thing is, they were still in it. Like, I can't think of a game this season where I've thought, no, the Bulldogs are completely out of this.
They're done, yeah.
Yeah.
We looked around it.
They got beaten in the midfield too, didn't they? I think they lost the
Dangerfield.
The hit-outs, Dangerfield, yeah. But they still managed to find a way to get back in the contest. So, yeah, much to their credit, they tried their best, but just fell a bit short.
Like we said, Geelong, a bit of a bounce back for them. I think that, like we said, with the new stadium and the new fans there, just didn't want to be embarrassed 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So they sorted themselves out.
Other funny thing is too, Geelong had 11 spare rotations.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't they only used 79 as opposed to the Bulldogs 89. But that's, to me, shows that they're a fucking fit side.
Yeah, that's good when your stars are killing it. You're not just pulling them straight off and going, I might need a rest. Just let them run with the momentum. And
that's one thing that confuses the fuck out of me. You get a player who just kicks a goal, for example. And if they've run the whole length of the field, fuck yeah, they want to come off. But some of the forwards, especially the stay-at-homes, like Tom Hawkins and old mate Clokey was in for this match as well, if they kick a goal, leave them on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they don't come off often. I don't think Hawkins, he probably comes off for his one or two rests a game.
Well, Clokey doesn't kick goals, so...
He probably just doesn't want to run to the boundary. Actually, here, that Aussie punter in the college system won his second Punter of the Year award.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I thought you were talking about Gamble then.
Well, that's where I went.
No, he... I've forgotten his name. Michael Hutchison. No, that's not it.
No.
He's still alive. I can't remember his name, but he was doing an interview when he was presented the awards, and they're going, you know, why did you choose this sport instead of Australian rules football? He's like, well, I'll tell you the truth. Deep inside, I'm a fat bloke, so running 20, 30 yards off and on the field is about all I wanted to do, so that's all I got for you.
I think he gave that interview about 2 years ago, though. That's when I heard it.
No, I think it was a new one. I think he might have done the same thing last year. I don't know.
Maybe.
You
might have just seen it. Anyway, on Saturday, St Kilda got overrun by Sydney. St Kilda were not great, but this is more about Sydney, I thought.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks in a row of St Kilda's having a shocking first half where just turnovers killed them. And also, just Sydney managed to have their midfield firing and playing. They got too many easy possessions and easy marks like in the centre square, which just sets them up to get Buddy to take over or have a few more targets hit down the middle. And Saints just can't spread across the whole field.
Well, it was only a matter of time before we saw this side of Sydney. They're too good a side to be dwelling where they were.
Yeah. And that's what it was. It was Parker. It was Hanbury in the middle, just absolutely killing it. And Buddy, when he gets in that mood and he says, I'm just going to kick this goal.
Yep.
There's ones where he's got tackled and he's broken it and kicked it from 60 out. And you just go, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
He's a freak.
Absolute freak. When he's on. I thought it was interesting that the Saints scored the same in the first half as they did in the second half. But obviously, once the Swans got on top, they just started peppering the goals and kicked straight. You know, 18-10 is a very good return.
Well, there's not really any excuses to have a messy sort of scoreline when you're playing at Etihad Stadium with the roof on, especially Sydney playing back-to-back there as well. Obviously, learned their lessons against North and sort of implemented that against the Saints.
Funny you mention that, because the roof was open.
Was it?
Twice this weekend, they left the roof open at Etihad Stadium.
They didn't dare do it last week against
North. It's still fully enclosed, though.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But they were talking during the game about, you know, the blustery breeze and, you know, it's going right to left and then they show a kick and it held up. Going right to left, you're like, maybe it isn't.
Yep.
Yeah. No need at all. I thought it was a little bit disappointing from the Saints' point of view because they had a chance here to, you know, Sydney were what, 2-6 before this game.
Yeah.
And Saints really needed a good performance after just getting over the line against Carlton.
Yeah, plus
the run just never got there.
They were that hickey, aren't they? They had Longer come in for his first game for him or something like that. It was serviceable. Got a few hit-outs, so, you know, I think the question is still out if they've got deep ruck stocks. I'm still not convinced. I think they might get found out around the ground when they play against a decent ruckman.
Well, I mean, Hickey's been good, and Longer's only played a couple of games, but it wasn't enough, I think. And especially with the Sydney on-ballers being as dominant as they were. An inexperienced ruckman like Longer is, even though he won the hit-outs, he's not going to dominate with getting it in the right spot.
Well, we saw that pretty much every game last round, that win the hit-outs but lose the clearances.
Happened often.
Lose the game.
Yeah. I tell you what, Seb Ross got 37 possessions. I didn't really notice that as the game was going on.
Yeah. Especially after last week, we had 35 and 5 or something like that.
Some of that.
Yep.
So 37 and 0 goals won. It's just not good enough.
No.
What about Paddy McCartan? What did you make of him?
Well, I still think that he's... I don't know if they have room for him in their forward line. I don't know if they need him there, because, I mean, seems like Bruce has been good, but Paddy McCartan, I'm not sure.
I'm going to say that they dropped Bruce for poor performances for Paddy McCartan.
Yeah.
And I thought Paddy looked... He looked like a scared first-year player.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's year three now? Or
definitely three.
About
three,
that.
Yeah.
You know, and apparently dominating in the VFL.
Yeah, I mean...
Got a long way to go.
Exactly.
Having said that, I mean, he was against Grundy, who I thought would be past it at this stage, but he's having a fairly decent year down back. He's got a few scouts, even though Sydney haven't performed that well. He's done all right.
And he's had to step up as well was it Rampy was out for a couple of games?
He was first game back.
Yeah. So he's had to step up, and it's good to see he's continued that momentum. But, I feel like the Saints forward line's a bit too... They've got too many people putting their hands up to hold down that spot. So I don't know if McCartan can really seal the deal with that one. I think he has to either find a different position for him to play or probably be trade bait.
He could end up trade bait already.
Yeah. Well, he'd have options.
Yeah, and I mean, St Kilda looking good for what they're recruiting, so, or what their drafts are. So, I mean,
they'll have a pretty heavy presence at the draft. Yeah,
could have two top 10 picks, the way things are going.
Mm. Carton might make a nice home out west.
Maybe.
The Purple Club.
Yeah, could do. I don't know if he's got any ties to WA. They tend to only look at recruiting locals.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to fucking off back home.
Yeah, well, you can understand that. Okay, on to the Giants and Richmond. What do you say?
Well, I did ask the old man today whether he was watching the telly, and I said, is that the new one? And he's like, what? I'm like, I figured you put your foot through the last one last week, surely. Apparently not. He's kind of getting used to it.
He's immune. He's immune to the ups and downs of the Tigers. But we were watching that last quarter, and immediately when they... Short and Martin? Was it Short or Castagna?
I can't remember. To be honest, I didn't watch it. I just followed it online, looked at halftime, was like, oh, we're a chance here.
Yeah.
It was the third quarter, I was like, oh, shit.
When they missed those first easy two goals, and you're just like, nope, we know this is going. Know exactly what's going to happen.
10-15.
Yeah. Jeez. Especially five behind the last quarter.
Like, yeah. It was a greasy game and raining early, and that suited the Tigers. But we were watching that last one, and then the first game, it kicks a goal that gets disallowed.
Yeah.
And I thought, there is nothing more, like, this is rigged.
Yeah.
This is the Matrix just saying, no, it's Richmond, this is how it happens.
Someone up there's got a sense of humour. But by all accounts, we didn't watch it, I'm not going to, but the back line was actually pretty decent. Like, Ransom,
Grimes had a blind
held up, yeah.
Well, no, what happened with that disallowed goal, though, was it wasn't disallowed on the umpire's call. Umpire called a goal. And it was only when the ball was travelling back to the centre for the bounce that the automatic review discovered, no, it's not a goal. And so Richmond players were already setting up for a centre bounce, and then they didn't get back enough to lock it in, and GWS got the ball out, moved along nice and handy.
See, it's funny, because if it was called touch immediately, Richmond would have been set up better, and it might have actually not gone through as fast as what it did.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's the worst possible result is just that everybody run back, and the umpire did try to hold it up a little bit and say, no, you've got to let them set up, but not enough for Richmond. They just weren't there. And then that massive kick, playing on out of fullback and kicking it down the middle, and then a beautiful punch.
It's very Fletcher-like.
From Davis, I think it was.
Yep.
It was just the right thing, and just everything went right for him. And you just go, yep, that's the way it is.
Yep.
But played great all day. And I thought Rance and Grimes were probably the two best.
Yeah, Martin apparently not far behind. He got a fair few touches of it. He's got another great don't argue on Taranto.
Yeah, absolutely. Punished him.
It was just almost like just shoved him to the ground, more or less.
It was with disdain.
Yeah.
First year player, poor lad.
Yeah. Mm. He's done all right, though. He's had a couple of good weeks.
He's been manhandled a fair bit, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But that'll happen when you're a little sort of terror like that, being a first year player.
the lazy 35 touches Dusty had. And
get a couple of nice fend-offs again.
Jake Boomer Kelly, as you've named him. He's had over 30 against, and he's doing his best to drive his price up, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing really well,
actually. He's had a good couple of weeks.
Josh Kelly, yeah. But yeah, I know what you mean.
And then Curvis first game back after being dropped or was injured.
No, nah, 1 week suspension.
Suspension, that's right. Still got towed up by Mumford.
You reckon he did?
Yeah, he didn't do enough. No, Dusty had to sort of get his own ball, which is not unusual, but the rest of the midfield sort of didn't really have much of a chance.
Well, in terms of headouts, Mumford got 40 to Nankervis's 19, so it's a fair talent.
He looked handy around the ground still. He moves well.
He's better around the ground,
he's a good set of hands.
Nankervis is doing brilliantly. I highly rate him. Mumford's probably just a bit too fucking big.
Yeah, but I thought Mumford had been struggling the last couple of weeks, especially with some of the non-ruckmen in the centre bouncers going up against him and out-leaping him.
Yep.
So he would have been happy, I think, to have another lumbering.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have a lot of impact around the ground. He only had 5 touches to Nangavis's 19. So that shows you how much more handy Nangavis was.
And the Tigers had Solder coming in to play his first game?
Third
game,
something like that.
Yeah. Mm. How'd he go?
Yeah, he went all right. He's been not handy. Scared. When Nankervis was out, he's been quite handy the last couple of weeks, to be honest.
Yep. He's still as uncoordinated as a newborn giraffe.
Yeah, but he's a big uncoordinated newborn giraffe. So.
Yeah, that helps. I don't know. Is there much more to say about the Tigers?
No.
At least they're not getting flogged.
Yeah, this is true. And we were saying that we could reasonably go into the bye round being...
even?
Even after a 5-0 start. And it looks like it's going
to
happen too.
5-0 start to 5-4.
Yep.
But I still think that the effort is there. It's just the execution's not quite.
Yeah.
Well, and also, there have been some greasy games. So.
But that suits them.
I think it does. Helps. But I think, with a bit more clean touches, maybe we'll see, Cochin come out of the shell a bit more. I don't know. I'm just trying to find the positives, to be honest.
Well, the shit thing is that same result as last week, but we're on the other side of the action. Like, we're actually ahead.
Yeah.
I think I was looking at the stats, or I read it somewhere, that GWS only led for like 59 seconds or something like that. I think 12 of those seconds or something, balls in dispute.
Yeah, I think in the last 3 weeks, you've only been behind for around 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, obviously, week before, we were coming back, and then they obviously kicked the life of Siren this time. Yeah, we got beat both ways by 3 points. So, disappointed on that one.
Yeah, I can say last week they led for 21 seconds or something like that in the entire game and lost. On to the next one. I mean, Brisbane versus the Crows. Brisbane took it up to them in the first quarter, but I think just overall skill level.
Well, 7-18. Like, again, goal kicking, you can expect, you want better than even. Like, there's a couple of rushes here and there, fair enough. But if a team's kicking less goals than points, there's an issue. And if they're kicking double the amount of points than goals, there's a big issue.
Yeah. And the other team's kicking 20-plus goals a game, it makes it very difficult if you're not going to be able to kick straight.
Yeah, and Adelaide, the heaviest attack in the comp.
Yeah,
by some
relentless
margin.
Too. Relentless. Yeah.
It was always going to end up this way, though. I mean, I think that their goal-kicking woes is more, they're rushed shots as well. And they're not getting, nice little lead-ups from 35 out and that kind of stuff. Mm. But Eddie's put another contender in for goal of the year as well. It's not a bad effort.
What the fuck? That bloke.
And to get past the goalkeeper as well.
But the thing is, he's talking, any other player, look, can you think of a better small forward?
Yeah.
In history.
Yeah. No, that's him.
I mean, you could put some names up, like maybe Dacos qualifies as a small forward, but I'd still take Eddie Betts over him.
I mean, Bartlett's kicked more goals, but only he played for 4 decades.
Yeah. And I mean, even Richmond supporters wouldn't put Bartlett in there, would they?
Not many, besides Kev.
Yeah.
He's a legit Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think it's without a doubt. I mean, it's not even in question.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when. Do they wait till he retires or just go, fuck it, chuck him in there? Why not?
But breaking Carlton supporters' hearts, you do that?
No, you reckon they'd be used to it by now. But we still go back. And I don't know how many times we've said it since he got traded to Adelaide. They overpaid.
Yeah,
clearly they underpaid.
Yeah.
By some
bargain on that one. And I mean, just the talent they've got around him as well now. They've recruited well. They've obviously traded in well. And it's going to be hard to stop them, I would imagine. I can't really see who's going to take it to them. I mean, obviously, they got beat by North and beat by Melbourne. But you have to kind of think they're anomalies because I don't see North or Melbourne.
Well, I think it's good that they found out where their weakness is. And that's, you got to tag Sloan out of the game.
Yeah. Tasmania, apparently.
Yeah. Brisbane didn't have anybody good enough to run with Sloan.
Yeah, and they just couldn't afford to lock one of their good players up.
And what's the point, really? Yeah. I mean, they're on a learning curve this year. So it'll be interesting, again, when they come up against better opposition to see how they've learned. And I think Scott Thompson's still running around the sandfall. I think he'll actually be better in that midfield when they have the heavy tags. Really?
Sure. Well, yeah, you need someone to protect Sloan.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's that sort of player that can.
And a big body to distribute out, because Sloan can play outside as well as he can play inside.
Yeah, yeah. And also Charlie Cameron stepped up. He was one of the people that we sort of targeted pre-season to have a big year, needed to cement his position.
So we were super right.
Yep.
Yeah. Not many we get right.
That was the one thing.
Pick Lindsay Thomas to have a big year too for North.
Hey, he's smashing it in the VFL.
No, he's not.
Literally smashing it.
Yeah, I'm going to say not anymore, he's not.
Actually, I did see for the North game, they panned to Lindsay Thomas in the...
We'll talk about North eventually. We'll get there.
Well, you were just on the subject. They said, oh, it's good to see Daniel Wells with the North blokes. That's not Daniel Wells.
No. Yeah.
North fans, were they?
Indigenous, well, that was the commentators.
Yeah, so I meant North fans. On to Collingwood and Hawthorn on Saturday night. It's a funny one because obviously Hawthorn got out to a 43-point lead before giving it up. But really, I was watching this game with the sound off because we had, like I said, the family over. And I thought, I'll try.
Swearing with the sound on?
No, well, the sound off in the first half when we were kicking ass. But really, when Hawthorn got 43 points up, it wasn't because Hawthorn played well. Collingwood were that bad.
Yeah. I mean, but it was a good straight kicking by Hawthorn as well. Always makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, still didn't make the difference, though.
But one goal, one for the half.
For the second half?
Yeah. That's fucking...
Well, I think...
Phenomenally bad.
Somebody put it up that our scoring... Oh, no, sorry. Our average for points allowed in the first half is less than our average for points allowed in the third quarter.
Really?
For the year so far.
Jesus, there's some stats you love to have.
So when they come out of the third quarter, I think 5 minutes in, you go, yep, I know what's happening here. Collingwood are just going to run it all over. They're not going to make the stupid mistakes that they made in the first half to give us that lead.
Which is disappointing. I like seeing Collingwood make stupid mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny watching, because on one hand, I want to see Hawthorn lose. On the other hand, I want to see Buckley sacked. So,
well, I'll tell you what, the crowd were giving it to him, weren't they?
Weren't they, though? Which is, fun to watch, too. But
made for great theatre.
Indeed. But it was interesting to see the criticism of Mitchell.
How like funny,
people saying he had 50 touches, but a shit game. Like, mate, no one that has 50 touches has a shit game.
Yeah.
Like, granted, he may have had not the most metres gained, but you get 50 touches, you've had a decent game.
The problem is he shouldn't be getting 50 touches because there should be other Hawthorn midfielders. That's the issue.
I feel like this was a criticism about a different Mitchell.
Yeah, just about. I was great. Hawthorn actually on the Facebook page put up 50 touches in 50 seconds, and they showed his 50 touches.
Yep.
And nearly all of them are inside, getting the ball while being tackled, handballing it out.
Yep.
They're great possessions, to be honest. I thought it was very funny. Actually, our mate Will had a good saying. It's the worst 50-touch game ever. Which you go,
seventh.
Yeah, fair enough it is. But it's a bit like saying you banged the ugly Spice Girl. You've still done it right for yourself. Scary, in case you're asking.
Didn't do so well for Eddie Murphy. You're still paying child support.
Yeah, I'm sure he was happy at the time. But yeah, it was funny that you can have a go at somebody for getting 50 touches.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it's just so weird.
Now you're just trying to find something to pick on him for. It's like, kind of give him one little moment of, you know, hey, give him a pat on the back for that one, but slam the rest of the players did nothing, because it was Mitchell getting the ball, hand pass teammate, and messes it up. Yeah. Don't get the ball himself again. Still got a fair few tackles, I think, 8 tackles or something. So
something like that.
Just pretty much the lone ranger there running around by himself in a Hawks jersey.
Clearly it was because the others weren't picking up the slack. Sicily kicked 3 goals, but he was ordinary. And there was a few times, the whole team was ordinary except for McAvoy and Mitchell.
Yeah.
There was a few times there was 2-on-none and we lost. we lost those little battles.
See, McAvoy did all right, but at the moment I put Grundy in All-Australian.
You go close.
Yeah, he's definitely put his
He had 44 hit-outs to McAvoy's 37. But around the ground, he had 17 disposals to McAvoy's 11. And McAvoy was handy, don't get me wrong. But
he had a good game.
10 of those being kicks. And a lot of them were... That was the first time in a while I've seen a ruckman take the ball out of the ruck and get a clean disposal.
Yeah, yeah.
So often now they're trying to tap it.
There was a... in the next game that we'll do, Danaher kicked a goal that way.
Yeah, I might have to eat some crow about Danaher.
But Pendlebury was clearly best on ground, especially in the when the game was on the line in the end of the third and the fourth quarter. Just some silky smooth skills.
He's still got it, yeah. He doesn't have to do as much this year because you've got Adams and you've got Treloar who are just picking up. So it's good for him to be able to just play different positions and not have to step up every game.
Who was it that got stuck into Hodge and then ran around and hid behind Pendlebury?
Might have been Adams. I can't remember.
I've got a feeling it might have been too. And it was kind of funny, fair enough you want to play them physically, but he's probably not one of the blokes you want to stir up too much.
He wasn't happy with it either.
No, he did run after him. He was going to get some retribution.
But, and I think, kind of rightly so. He copped a little jumper punch from nowhere. And who the fuck did that? I'm going to go give him a receipt. But anyway, it came to nothing. Not any fines for it.
I'm sure he's not forgotten.
Yeah, you remember.
He's not too... he's quite partial to swinging an elbow around here and there too, so I'm sure he's written that one down.
I don't think we play Collingwood again for the year, so... And I don't know if Hodge plays next year.
Yeah, it'll
be
Mad Monday.
He'll find him where he lives.
He'll get him next year when he's interviewing on the boundary or something.
He'll offer him a ride home.
Hodge dressed up as Pendlebury for Mad Monday.
All right, on to the Sunday games. And Essendon came out and absolutely blitzed West Coast. West Coast looked insipid, don't get me wrong, but... Essendon are running into a purple patch.
It's hard to say as well.
If you pick the line, Essendon by 10 goals plus, fuck you.
Yeah, write your own
some
ticket.
Sort of betting genius or just a loose unit.
So we've got to find a way to take it down for Essendon, just to ruin their little party.
Well, it was the worst 10-goal win I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I thought, just point out a little bit of the hypocrisy.
Yep.
You know how they went over to WA a few years ago and they were complaining about why would you boo Joe Watson?
Yep.
And, that's just not right. But they're happy to boo the bloke that got his Brownlow medal in 70. No worries at all. And you know what? I like him for it too.
Yep.
I like that hypocrisy. I'm like, own it.
Yep. That's almost like the when you saw the Magpies documentary on Vice, the rivals between them, Carlton, and they're like, we want you to hate us. Like, don't like us. That's what we want. And Essendon, they're very good at getting people to hate them.
I quite like that, Doggo. I thought
it was
good.
Really good, yeah.
Oh, it was brilliant. This is just all-around domination. And like we foreshadowed there, Joey Danaher's had another blinder.
I've been a bit cold on Joe Danaher. I feel like he's a bit inconsistent. And he still is, but he was in it for the whole game this week.
He's growing into his frame, almost, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm still refusing to admit I was wrong, but it's looking like it's undeniable soon.
Well, he's looking like previously I thought he's probably just in the side based on what he could potentially be, but he's not really earning a spot. But no, I'm gonna back off on that one. He had a fucking belter.
Yeah, plenty of ball winners for Essendon too. So it wasn't like it was just one person's job. Everyone sort of chipped in. Yeah, good to see, but I hate to see it.
Josh Green's turning into one of the better pickups, and so certainly considering he was a delisted signing for him as well.
Yeah,
shows what you can do when you actually care about your footy and playing for your career.
Yeah,
because he was absolutely shit house at Brisbane last year. Did not give a shit.
Yeah, it showed, didn't it?
It's kind of the symptom of a lot of Brisbane players at the moment, I think.
Yeah, well, it shows that he can improve once he's left.
Yeah, but he's still got Shaky. It's looking like he's going to be struggling to keep him up there too. They've said he's going to have a deadline of their buy round in order to decide if he's coming home.
And got dropped this week.
Yeah, I reckon he might just be taking that buy round to do a bit of moving, pack some shit up and pick a nice little house in probably St Kilda.
You reckon you end up at the Saints?
Oh, I just had to pull a tee on my ass just on the fly. So
why not?
Yeah.
I thought Collingwood is just what you say. Collingwood are in the discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Because they always are.
Well, yep. Your boys have got to have a bit of salary cap room, surely.
We've got to fit Dusty in there now.
I was going to say, you will have once he leaves.
No, you don't.
All right, on to Melbourne versus North Melbourne. North Melbourne won again, so we'll move on to Frio versus... Ah, we've already talked North, I thought. You know what I was impressed by this game is there was a niggle all day. All day between them.
It was highly unsocial on both sides.
And Jordan Lewis did not get reported once.
No, he was actually pretty unsighted in that sort of, those sort of events.
I think he's just calmed down. He thought, you know what? I'm known. There's money on me to get suspended in this game. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it.
Goldstein had a bit of a day, which you'd expect him, against Pettersson.
I saw him jump. Yeah. He took a leaping mark. I haven't seen that in years from him.
Yeah, and Pettersson's still been playing good as well, but just not in the ruck. He's been around the ground where he's been sort of decent, especially in the forward line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing was... He's against Goldstein, who had 61 hit-outs.
Yeah, yep. He's had a day. And obviously with the injuries for Melbourne, Ruck's going to be their vulnerability. And Goldstein needed a hit-out like this.
Yeah, and that's not criticism on Petto. He did his job.
No, what can you do?
And he has been fantastic since Gorn and Spencer, I think it is, are out. Which, you know, blokes are taking advantage of the position available for him. Yep. Well done to him.
Yeah.
And a big Benny Brown kicking five.
Kicking five. He's in the top five for the Coleman at the minute, I think.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Five or six.
He's generally a very reliable set shot. Granted, he does tend to run up from about 80 metres away.
Yeah. And running under the ball a lot, which is what he did last week against Sydney, was it?
Yeah.
He doesn't have it on that, yeah.
But he's very good with that lead-up mark. When he sticks the Dukes up, he gets them up pretty high.
Yeah.
He'd be one of the favourites of drop punt porn. he loves them.
It's almost like he just doesn't understand how long his stride is, because he always seems to be consistently under the ball, or where he just can't jump as high as he thinks he can.
Well, he did get stuck behind the ball earlier on, and he gave away a bit of a push in the back, which was absolutely there. He's very rarely shoulder to shoulder with the defender.
Yep.
Yeah.
Quite often running into space. And Waite got into each other's way a little bit. And Waite didn't have a lot of impact, but, you know.
Not I think even Waite being out there takes a defender.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
More so than, you know, Lockie Hansen. Although Lockie Hansen played a great game in this one, I thought.
He's not someone you really worry about, though.
He just does enough to
get a selection.
1 out of 4 weeks just to make you have to be accountable for him, because, you know, he's still with that potential. But it seems like he's happy just to do fuck all, and then, I might strap the boots on, the goalkeeping boots on this week and kick eight.
If Mason Woods kicked a bit straighter, he'd be one of the better players as well. Threes, a good return though for your medium forward.
They were all gettable though.
Yep.
That was he had one that I think was about 25 out on maybe a 20 degree off center angle. So, you know, just beyond the, around the point post area, and just put it across. And I think that was the first shot at goal for North.
Am I right in saying that North don't have many visits to the G this year?
The only one.
This is it.
Yep.
Well, it's good. You know, they knocked that one out. You know, and got a win. And what is it? 10 years since Melbourne 11. Beaten them. 11 now.
North do play them, I think, around 19-ish, it's in Tassie.
So if Gorn's back, it could be close. But yeah,
I think around them, North might be after draft picks, so they might rest play the bees.
You might put Magic out there. See how it goes.
Where it's gone, Melbourne could be too. So that could be an interesting battle.
Geez, they're up and down. It's hard to pick.
Knock off the Crows and then come back and sew up that.
But they're good enough to play finals. I mean, but mind you, I could say that about probably 14 sides.
Yeah, about that.
Viney, he's looking like a superstar.
Yeah, needed more of it, though.
He did, but he was very effective. Frost was like a rock down back. The amount of times that he managed to predict the ball, come off his man and get a mark, or just be exactly in the right spot to spoil... Frustrating as fuck, but he can play well.
He was Melbourne's best, I thought, in the loss to Hawthorn as well. So he's stringing together a good couple of games.
Yeah. Does Cunnington play next week?
Yeah, you got a fine.
Yeah, that's all right.
But yeah, bit of a Dairy Farm special punch, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, we covered it at the top, but it did look like Vince went down easy, but I don't think he's that good of an actor either.
Yeah.
I don't think you act when you're actually sub yourself off. Yeah. You know, having a good old sit down. I think he just got him sweet in the liver.
Must have.
Yeah. And to be fair, Cunningham's probably a little hard cut.
Yeah, I feel like there should be one free jump and punch per player per season. Yeah, one freebie they can call on after that. So that's enough.
As long as it's a proper one. Like these little, you know, bit of a tap on the way by. Yeah.
Yep.
But that was just a, mate, I'm not fucking playing games. And, you know, we've seen a few fend-offs. Maybe we see a few more punches at him. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Thompson, was Thompson had his shirt ripped off?
He did.
He was ready to go. So I've got a nice souvenir there. Came off pretty easy, though. I don't know if he's putting, like, the cuts in him just so he gets to flash the guns each game or something.
Maybe
Hulk
so.
Hogan style.
You reckon it's a work?
Oh, definitely. Definitely on. I mean, it's a setup, especially right in front of the crowd, too, in the goal square. Well, just off the goal square there.
I didn't see what happened after that. Did he run straight off?
No, he stood around for a bit and just looked up. I think he was laying on someone, too, so...
I mean, what happens? They run out with a new Guernsey, or do you have to run off and get changed?
Oh, he does that run off and flexing all the way, I think.
fair play.
Why wouldn't you? Okay, on to the last game, which is Frio over Carlton. Frio gave him a little scare early, but at the end of the day, the talent to...
Carlton gave him a little scare.
Yeah, sorry, Carlton gave him a little scare early. But the talent of Frio is coming through. 6-3, Frio, just
sitting
quietly.
Fifth.
Yeah. Yep, it's not what we wanted to see.
Very interesting. Although 6-3 with a percentage below 100.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It just shows that, you know, if somebody gets on top, they go, yeah, fuck it. But yep. They fought back in this one with Carlton getting the ascendancy early. But
no one's been catching the Crows percentage anyway. That is fucking massive.
Well, Port.
Oh yeah, actually, Port got the hand up there, don't they?
Yeah, Cruiser not embarrassed by Sandilands.
No, not at all.
I think he did quite well, especially, you know, Sandilands being the man monster. He's always going to struggle getting around the ball. Cruiser was very mobile.
Yep. Lockie Neal picked up 37 posies again. Not again, but
yeah,
he's another blinder.
He is a little bit of a ball magnet.
Yeah.
Lockie Neal.
It's becoming quite annoying.
But, you know, again, meters gained, 239 though. But yeah. Not as many complaints about that one.
Nope.
Anyway, geez, isn't Brad Hill just absolutely killing it?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, which is always sad to see another Hawk person go over and start performing.
Anyway.
The thing is, I don't think Nat Fyfe had a great game.
No, he's warming up into it. It's still taking him a little while, but when we're talking about, you know, Brownlow medal favourites and the guys that have stood up and had monster games like Sloan, Dangerfield and Martin, yeah. I don't think he hasn't had a monster game yet.
No, but it's good for Frio to be able to say, look, we're not relying on him so much.
Yeah.
Like you look at Gold Coast, and if Ablett has a poor game, generally they struggle. But they're definitely not a one-trick pony now.
No, definitely not.
And with the Hills, you know, Hills alive with the sound of music, running around the boundaries and getting the balls.
Couldn't let it go, could you? Once it eases your mind, you're like, well, I'm committed now.
I'm running with it.
I appreciate the commitment there.
Shoehorn that one in.
I do like Sam Rowe does his knee and they decide, nah, send him back out there. Do it properly.
Flog a dead horse. Carlton still had three players with over 30 posies, which is quite impressive for getting no sort of scoreboard transition or translation with that. I think single digits for goals and behinds is quite pathetic, really.
Well, I mean, they're always going to struggle over there.
A lot of them are kicks too, so I get the feeling a lot of that was blind blast kicking. Which isn't what you want to have out of midfield, but, you know, at least you're getting the ball, I guess.
You got to say, at least you're getting the ball. And it's going to be another rough year for Carlton. We all expected that. So.
Yeah, and I don't think the supporters expect any different, as long as they win the matches they want to win, which would be against Collingwood, which they did.
Yeah. I think it's like rough.
They did Essendon too.
Yeah. It's rough on their win-loss record, but they've still got enough going on in that club that you can have some sort of positive out of it. Like, yeah. It seems like they're actually getting somewhere, even if the wins and losses don't say that.
I think they're following what... kind of predicted they would at the start of the year, which is, you know, you're not going to win games because of lack of skill.
Yeah.
But, you know, endeavour's there, the plan's there. It's just got to grow into AFL football.
Just wait until they have to pay Daisy Thomas anymore so they can afford some big players.
What do you think they're missing?
Talent in the middle.
Yeah. I think they need a heavy body too.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Murphy and Gibbs are good, but they're getting towards the end. Now Murphy's still top-notch.
Yeah.
But they need some others. Like Charlie Curnow is going to be there. And I think in 2 years' time, he's going to be that, you know, running midfielder and big-bodied midfielder. But guys like Simpson are still shouldering too much of the load.
Charlie Curnow.
Wiedering's also waiting until he sort of grows into his body and then he can be a bit more physical presence.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's been great.
Enough,
But they've been trying to swing him down forward because... Marchbank and the other Plowman have been sort of a great tandem down back.
Yep. And I mean, yeah, that's one of the bonuses as well, having those young kids be able to hold down a role down back. I mean, not winning, but at least getting some sort of experience, and you know, it's going to be better for next year and the year after.
Yeah.
Also shows you what where the holes are and what they need to recruit in or what they need to... Well, actually, I think they've recruited well. It's still about trading in yeah. some
I think they
some
still
holes.
Need a big body in the middle. Like, because if you're getting tagged, they need someone to run a block kind of thing.
Yeah. It was Ed Kernow who was sort of their tagger, their yeah. rough and tumble, but he did his shoulder twice, I think.
And then he became too there. Valuable.
Yeah.
Mm. Too
yeah.
valuable as a playmaker. And yep. I think one of their thinkers, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, which is crazy because he yeah. looks like Steve-O. So.
But I think they're missing a big body. Like, you look at teams that are physically intimidating. You think of guys like, you know, Mumford, even Nankervis, to his credit, Dusty Martin, all those guys. They can, you know, people are... If he's standing toe-to-toe with you, you're thinking you're a bit worried.
Well, I'll tell you what. With, you know, some of their ageing players, like Murphy and Cruiser and Gibbs are getting towards the end. You know, Gibbs, who knows if he's trying to offload himself to South Australia.
Yeah.
And obviously, Daisy Thomas will be on less pay next year. They could be a little player when it comes to restricted free agents and season's end.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, oh, I could see Nat Fife in the Navy Blues.
Yeah, well.
Dusty Martin.
I don't know. They've got a great habit of getting rid of some talent, though.
Yeah, they don't.
This is true, yeah. They want to watch who they're trading.
Yeah.
All right, so let's have a look at round 10 then. We're getting into the nitty-gritty, and we go back to the Thursday night games. Down at Simmons Stadium, Geelong in form against Port Adelaide coming off a bye.
Yes, it's going to be a very, very good game to watch, I think. Port have always been that fast-running game, which has been Geelong's yep. strength, so it's going to be the equivalent of a toe-to-toe slugfest, I think, where there's not much defense going on. It's all going to be attack. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. Make it really exciting. It should be a high-scoring game, and yeah, should have everyone invested in if you're not going for either team.
See, I think despite the long plane ride it's taken, the gap is that they had the bye, they're going to come out so strong, Port.
I think so. I think so too.
They're going to be too good.
I think they're going to be too fit. Cats, you know, their height might actually go against them here.
Yeah.
And I think Port might run them off their feet.
Yeah, see, I'm still not completely convinced, so I'm going to go for Geelong, but I think Port will take it to them.
Friday night, Sydney are hosting Hawthorn. This could get nasty. This could get big.
Could get nasty or it could be awesome.
I think 3 weeks ago we would have said, oh, either team can get this and could be interesting. But Sydney are looking in form, and in form Sydney, or Buddy yep. could have an absolute blinder.
Well, and also I think Hawthorn's in a bit of a precarious position now because they've got quite a few injuries, so players are getting called up that honestly haven't earned their spot. But at the same time, Box Hill are 6-0.
Yeah.
So we might actually be just looking for a VFL premiership this year.
Every week you say Buddy's due for a day out. I think this one's going to come true.
Well, I mean, he had a good week last week and eight the week before.
But even when he hasn't been kicking goals, he's been doing enough downfield and presenting himself, setting up goals too. So his impact on the team isn't directly just goals.
It's the week before last he had a good one because last week he got beaten by Tarrant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but Buddy is the problem as well. I mean, midfield's obviously going to kill us. But
who do you put on him?
Exactly. Because like, usually
Gibson
it's Frawley.
Can't hold him.
Usually it's Frawley, but he's out. Gibson, there's no way Gibson can go with him.
No.
So it could be Ryan Burton, which
really,
I think
bad we can do.
I think Buddy's going to beat him, hands down. But I think it'll be a great learning experience. And look, if Burton has a good day and keeps him to two or three, you go, you know what? Fair play, son.
Job.
Do you think you can keep up with him?
No. I don't think there's any backman in the league that can keep up with him.
Yeah.
And Burton's one of those.
So that's one of the problems. Like, he's so strong and fast that the players that can shoulder to shoulder him, like Frawley, can't keep up with his pace, and vice versa. If they can keep up with his pace, they're normally too small.
Well, that's why there's nobody that's going to go one-on-one with him all day. It's got to be a team effort. So hopefully Brand comes back because he was named this week but was a late out with illness. So at least it's not an injury. So he should be back. So they're going to run off each other because, you know, usually, like I said, it's Frawley. And if it's not, then it's Ben Stratton covering him. But they're both out of him. So.
And I think also it would be handy if they could get Tom Mitchell to have the worst ever 75 possession game.
75.
Well, that just
wouldn't be the worst thing.
Bit of a homecoming there. It'll be interesting to see how he goes.
Yeah, especially against that midfield running into form.
Yep.
Mm. Bulldogs St Kilda Etihad Stadium on Saturday.
I love this game.
Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I absolutely love it. And both teams that need a win.
Mm. Yeah, and I mean both teams at home too, so you should get a decent crowd there, which neither of those teams are used to. But this is one for, even if you don't go for the team, it's one that I got to like to watch.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But I'll be working, I can't go. But
I might head in.
Yeah, it'll be good fun. Hopefully the roof shut for this one, so we can have some straight kicking. And it's going to be real interesting one-on-one matches in this one. You got obviously the midfield, but I'm looking at how St Kilda's defense is going to manage to stop that
running through the midfield and sort of bypassing what they're supposed to do.
Libertor has to come back, surely.
Surely. And I think Jordan Ruffhead has had two games in the twos, you know, coming back from injury. So they might have a ruckman now. You know, as much as what ruckman is, he is.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, Lin John taking taps.
That was fantastic to see, actually.
Yeah, well, you do what you do. But it's a coin flip game, isn't it? I mean, honestly. I'm going to say the Bulldogs.
I'm on the Bulldogs just because I think their mental toughness will get them through.
I haven't seen Saints play four quarters yet, so I reckon the Bulldogs will just get over the last. And it doesn't matter how fast St Kilda get up, I think they will get ahead at some point, but I reckon the Bulldogs will come back in the last. They seem to be able to pull together when it matters.
I reckon Trav Cloak will be the difference.
That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting if you
could. So St Kilda go for it.
Don't know who's going
to... I did say the difference, so whether he kicks straight or not.
Melbourne are hosting the Suns up north. So this would be an interesting one again, because the Suns coming off a pitiful display in China, but the long break, and Melbourne need to bounce back.
Yeah.
Melbourne looked tired in the fourth quarter, like North did too, and I think North gassed out before Melbourne, but Melbourne ended the game pretty much dead on their feet. So I think... it's a six-day turnaround versus the long break for Suns. On that basis, I'm going to go for the underdog Suns.
Yeah, I'm just hoping the Suns got a new supplements program out of that China deal. So I reckon it's going to be dick pills and clenbuterol in the cocaine or whatever it is. But it
might be a counterfeit Suns that have come back too. You
know? it's not going to be probably, I mean, the most interesting game, but I think Melbourne will get a lot across the line quite easy.
Yeah, I would still go for the Ds, I think. Dreamtime at the G with the Tigers sitting in 7th against the 10th place Essendon.
How the fuck can you pick this?
Well, I'm going to say Essendon have the form and playing brilliantly the last 2 weeks, which means they're going to lose.
But that's like either team, if the good Richmond turn up and the bad Essendon turn up, it's a whitewash. And if vice versa, if the bad Richmond and the good Essendon turn up, it's going to be a fucking belting. So I don't know, fucking coin flip.
I just want to see Dusty fend off Tipper and see what happens.
Unstoppable object versus the immovable force.
Yeah.
I think it's a divide by zero, right?
I think Essendon's beaten us for a while too. So I feel like we've got the wood over them. I think we might just get across the line. We always seem to step up on the Indigenous round as well.
Who gets Danaher? It has to be Rance, surely.
Yeah.
Would
you put Grimes on him?
You got to go Rance. Yeah. Rance is there. And then that means Grimes goes to probably someone like Hooker.
Yep.
But I think they could easily switch up, especially after last week. Grimes was really his best game in years, I think.
Yeah, he had a blinder. I'm going to go Richmond just because I think their back line is a little bit better.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm on the Tigers.
You're on the Tigers?
Yep.
God, I was going to say the Tigers as well, but because it just makes absolutely no sense that they lose two heartbreakers against Essendon, who are coming off two absolutely astounding performances. So because it makes sense, it makes Richmond sense, they'll get up in that one. The Crows are hosting the Dockers at Adelaide Oval. You'd expect the Crows to walk in.
Yeah, look, Fremantle, like we've always said, you've got to keep Crows under about 15, 16 goals if you've got a chance. Yep. You know, I don't see it happening. I don't see who in their back line is going to stop. Lockie Neal's going to be enough on his own to be able to do it all for Frio. Fife's going to have to step up.
Yep.
Who do you think they'd use as a run with if they wanted to tag Sloan?
I don't know. They might use Fife and just say, you know what, Sloan, we'll go your one-on-one.
Yep.
If you want to run off Fife, then good luck. We'll see what he does the other way. And I don't know if that's a good move or a bad move. But otherwise, I mean, I bet you they wish they still had Ryan Crowley on the payroll.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
I don't know who's their tagger now.
I did see Damien Barrett's hailing the return of Ross the Boss. I'm not really willing to get on board with Ross Lyon just yet. But look, Freo looking good, but I'm on Adelaide. They're first and they're looking like it, despite a couple of hiccups in their game plan.
On Sunday, we got Collingwood and Brisbane at the MCG. It'd be just like Collingwood to lose this one, but I can't see it happening.
No, I can't see Brisbane win another game, to be honest, or a game.
It's going
to
struggle.
Yeah.
I really want Collingwood to lose this one, but...
It would be hilarious.
Yeah. I think Brisbane are far better than they've been showing, but I think it's a cultural thing. I think they're not playing to potential and they're just not buying into it. But then again, I could say the same about Collingwood except for last week. So, I don't know.
I can see how Collingwood can win this game. I can't see how Brisbane do.
Fucking, I'm on Brisbane. I reckon Beams have a day out.
I reckon Beams could have a day out and it won't make a lick of difference. No. He could get 50 touches this week.
Yep.
Beams, Mark, put it down.
So, does that put Mitchell as the eighth best 50 touch or seventh?
Probably eighth. Carlton and North at Etihad Stadium on Sunday.
Yeah, Jesus, this is going to be a cracker.
Your enthusiasm just raining on through. It could be messy.
It is a tough one for either. I mean, North have been up and down, but
Carlton, you know, Carlton.
Yeah, I'm back in North, and well, in a rare form of confidence, I think they'll get a percentage booster. North by 5 goals.
Yeah, I feel like the rule loser of this game is going to be anyone watching. But I reckon North will get across the line. I think Carlton, North have got something going on there. So I think Carlton just a bit all over the place.
A scrappy affair.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think North as well.
Yeah, you'd hope Marley Williams can step up and have another great game. He didn't do much last week, so he's due to bring it up.
No, he did all right.
He was okay. Yeah, he was okay. And West Coast are hosting the Giants in fourth versus second.
How the fuck do you pick this one?
Well, I can say Giants sitting second, but they haven't been overly impressive. They scraped over the line against Richmond and Collingwood 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
You can say the same about West Coast, though.
They've been shithouse away from home.
Yeah, that's true.
So this one's at home. So everything says West Coast, but who fucking knows?
Yeah, I think I'll go with West Coast because that's an easy pick. I feel like GWS has been travelling the last couple of weeks. This one might just be a bit too far.
No, I'm going for Giants because I think Mumford will eat someone.
Actually, I think GWS played at home the last 2 weeks against Collingwood and Richmond.
Oh, shit, they did too. Fuck.
So this is their first time travelling, which means they're not used to it, so they'll lose anyway.
I'll go with that.
Well, it is the longest trip in footy, isn't it?
It is, I think. Well until China came along.
Well, the longest trip is the airport out to GWS, I think.
It's a long drive. Yeah, it's a very fucking long drive. Look, if GWS get up, then they can say they're legitimate flag contenders this year.
Yeah, yep. And then you still got to figure out how they're going to beat the Crows.
I did see online, there's all bar Brisbane are about $2.50 to make the eight.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's ridiculous that Hawthorn are up there. I can't see. I hope Hawthorn going to struggle to get two more games for the rest of the year. Play the kids. Give the Saints their number one or two pick or whatever they get.
Yeah.
They've looked that bad. But for this one, you know what? GWS. I'm going to go the Giants because it makes absolutely no sense. They played badly 2 weeks and won, so they're going to play good and win instead.
And I mean, that is the formal competition, is whatever should go wrong is going wrong, so you've got to use that as the base for your picks.
Who fucking knows?
Boomer Kelly's going to have a blinder.
All right, that'll do us for this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And, tell your friends and hit us up on Facebook or Twitter and clickingballs.com.
Yep. Cheers, guys.
Have a good one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.